Madame, Jeritza, and Lemon, no doubt we could continue for a long time on Ariadne, but I cannot resist the temptation having you both here and knowing how closely you're both connected with Richard Strauss and with more than just only Ariadne to ask you a few more questions about your work with Richard Strauss. I seem to remember that the work immediately following Ariadne was Frau ohne Schatten, and both of you were connected with that work too.
Yes.
Madame Lehmann, what did you sing in Frau ohne
Schatten? I sang the Dyer's Wife. And Jeritza was the Empress.
Yeah, I was the Empress.
Ah, and very beautiful.
And you were beautiful,
oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Now say something nice about me, yeah, will you?
The only, as I remember, Frau ohne Schatten,
I don't think I have so much time on the radio to tell all the nice things I think about you.
Oh, thank you.
You wouldn't believe it.
No, I wouldn't. Thank you.
Well,
but the people will believe it, because they know I always... So let's go on.
Now, do tell us something, but let me say quickly about Frau ohne Schatten. Once again, it's a very special work, and once again, in spite of the success of Salome, Elektra, and Rosenkavalier in this house, and from today on, I hope also, Ariadne auf Naxos, Frau ohne Schatten is another Richard Strauss opera, which has not been given in this house,
yes,
and which is given very little in Europe too. What is your opinion,
yes,
on that?
Yes, because it requires a great, great deal of the first class, really first class artists. Every one of them must be absolutely first class.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the only reason. The book is very confused.
I agree.
And to find through that book, through this labyrinth of words.
I didn't find myself through it.
No, I believe that, because there are really many people. You know, I have written about it. I have written a book about the operas which I have studied and sung with Strauss, and naturally Frau ohne Schatten is in it. And believe me, in writing it, sometimes I was quite confused.
The labyrinth.
I said, what's the matter now? How does it go on?
Yeah.
And that is asked too much of people,
but
of an audience.
Very true, but...
The music is heavenly.
Music is beautiful.
Heavenly.
Music is beautiful. But I also think Madame Jeritza is quite right. It has enormous demands on the cast, starting with two sopranos. Where do you find these two sopranos
and
a big mezzo part, too.
Yeah. And a tenor.
Yeah. Now, but tell us something about the... Were you both in the world premiere together?
Yes.
Was that in Vienna?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was Strauss again conducting it?
No, I think that was Schalk.
No, Strauss conducted
it. Are you sure?
I'm positive sure.
I've forgotten that.
Yes, he interrupted me too many times, so I never forget that, because I was hurt.
What kind of success was it?
Oh, tremendous.
It was a great
success. Oh, tremendous. It was a wonderful performance. I mean, we were all very good.
Oh, yes, we were very good, that's true.
Well, I'm glad you admit it. I'm very glad you admit it. It is so...
But I don't think it was a box office.
No, it certainly wasn't.
No,
it never has
No, Lotte, because I tell you, as you very cleverly said, it was a labyrinth of mysterious scenes and everything. From one scene to the other, we never know where we come and where we go.
I always feel a bad libretto, a not very good libretto, can be carried by great music, but then the libretto mustn't be as demanding as this libretto is.
Yes.
What I mean is, you have a stupid little story like Trovatore and beautiful music, nobody cares much.
Now, for instance, pardon me to interrupt. Yes. He said to me, I wrote a beautiful part for you, the Ferberin, and 4 months later, I said, I changed my mind, you sing the Kaiserin. I said, why? And he said, because I need just the Kaiserin. And so I said, my gracious me, I told everybody I sing the Ferberin, and Ferberin, the people will think something is wrong. So do I have more now? I come to Ariadne back in the Vorspiel. I said, do I have more to sing than the Ferberin? And he said, no. I said, what do we sing in the first act? Do I have plenty of high notes? He said, not one note. You don't sing, you don't open your mouth. I said, and so what in the second act? You don't open the second act. It belongs to the Ferberin. And I said, who is the Ferberin? I said, Lotte Lehmann. He said, that's wonderful, but why couldn't I sing a little bit of her part too in the second act? He said, no, you start in the third act, and in the third act she has nothing to do.
Yes, you know, it's very...
I'm amazed that you're still on speaking terms to each other, my lady.
No. You know, I think it's he has explained that very, very well in his whole music. Yeah. I mean, for instance, when the Empress starts, before her sings the Amme. Terrible. Dreadfully. And Bella Palin, who sings this, said once to him, look, you have written this so terribly difficult for the nurse here, and it is such an really shrieking what we have to do. And then comes the Empress, and she sings so marvelously. And he says, yes, I did that purposely as an introduction, so that the Empress especially shines like the sun. And Palin gave him a wonderful answer. You have a monument in the hearts of all mezzo-sopranos.
I can believe that. But I must say, selling a new part to a soprano by telling her that she wouldn't open her mouth in two acts is something which very few composers could have done.
I took it very graciously. Because
he knew exactly that when she has the whole ending and the Färberin has nothing, that would be just right for you.
Bravo, Lotte, that's good. I mean, don't what you say, I had the last word.
Definitely.
Sometimes I think it's just as well that we have no Richard Strausses around anymore. We have enough problems.
Everybody loved him. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that. He was wonderful.
He certainly was.
Wonderful as a composer, he was wonderful as a friend
and a conductor,
and he was a very good statesman too. You know what you want.
Yeah, I know that.